Hi, everyone. Welcome to Appliance Advisors with Yale Appliance. I'm Francesco, joined by Dennis. How are you doing this week, Dennis?
Doing great, friend. How about you?
Very good. Very good. So last week, you know, we teased this so-called super show talking about ventilation. Maybe not everyone's favorite subject, but definitely one of the most critical and important things when it comes to planning your kitchen, and something that you really need to think about early, because it can just, there's so many things that can affect how you install it, what you're looking for, all those things. So we knew kind of coming into this week that there's always a ton of questions when it comes to ventilation, and that there's just so much to talk through. So we kind of teased this super show where, you know, typically we're, you know, about a half an hour or so. This week we definitely need some more time. We need a little bit more time to talk through some of these things, you know, really give as much expertise as we possibly can. And then we want to spend some time at the end of the show to really answer some more questions that you have. We think that we'll, you know, we're going to wait till the end to kind of grab some of those questions, because we think as we go, we'll be able to answer a lot of those. And there's a lot of different questions that lead to other questions. So we're going to kind of run through as much as possible here. And then at the end of the show, we're going to answer all your questions. So again, super show here, all about ventilation. We're really excited. I know Dennis loves to talk about ventilation, so we hope you enjoy this show here. Anything you want to start off with, Dennis?
No, I mean, that's really it. Let's just kick right into it. The only thing I would say, you know, is as I frame ventilation, just if I had a customer and you were in the store and we were talking about your project for the first time, you know, we're always going to, I want you to think about a few things, okay? Naturally, what do people want to think about first? Aesthetic. What do they like the look of, right? Because it is, it's your eye level and it's a balance, right? But really, we want you to start at the top of this checkbox in this order, I would say, as much as anything, proper performance, right? There's nothing of putting all the money and all the time and installation effort into a hood and have it still not work well for you and you're happy with the results. So as much focusing on how it's going to work for you and can it work for you first, okay? Then, you know, aesthetic, hood also, you know, it's visual. So it's kind of a, not art for lack of a better word, but it's certainly at an eye level. So you want to appreciate the aesthetic quality. And then as much lighting, right? I mean, a vent, aside from trying to move air and looking good, needs to light the surface, your cooking surface. So those are kind of the three overarching things that we kind of come back to, and seeing how close we can match all of that to the consumer's needs. So with that, Fran, why don't we get right into it?
Very good. So really, you know, the next thing we'll kind of jump into and to start with, you know, we're really going to talk about, you know, ventilation principles. And certainly in the appliance industry, there's a lot of jargon and abbreviations and acronyms and things like that. And, you know, no surprise that ventilation has a lot there. So we're going to start there and just kind of talk about some of the most common terms when it comes to ventilation. And what do these things mean from there?
Okay, let's start with capture area. Capture area is the physical space, the size of the hood, the width and the depth of the hood, that's covering the cooking product below. How wide is it? How deep is it? That's your capture area. In that capture area is also, when you think about hoods, some are flat on the bottom, some are actually concave in there and create, for lack of a better word, like a holding space. So as your fan's working hard to take out smoke and grease and heat at different times as it billows up in cooking, that capture area helps to hold it long enough for that blower to catch up and do its thing. If it's flat on the bottom, many times without capture area and without enough size to cover the cooking surface, we'll have a not so great blower. And we're going to show a lot of examples on that.
Yeah,
this right here is what we're looking at. I mean, look at this picture. This is a professional hood, and you can kind of see, if you look up under there, it kind of looks like that's your capture area right there. That's really it in a nutshell. And you can even see that hood has slanted, what we'd call pro style vent grates, and they're kind of at an angle. So if we were to really get up and look underneath that hood, there's a good 6 or 8 inches up in that hood that's also holding that smoke, like I said. But that's capture area, covering the full left and right of the range. And then as much front to back, it's covering it front to back. So focus on good capture area. The next would be the blower. And there's a lot to blowers. We can just tab right through to the next slide there. You know, blower types, we've kind of shown them here in a graph. In number one, that is the most common style. That's what's called an internal blower. So you can kind of see the outline of the hood there. That blue is literally the hood, its blower itself. So that's called an internal blower. probably the easiest to install into the home, because it just connects to the ductwork and you take your ductwork any which way you need to get it out of the home. The next would be number two. That's called an inline blower. So in this application, you see below, you see a hood, a gray hood. Mm-hmm. And somewhere in between the beginning and the termination of, but with still within the envelope of the home. So inside the physical home, maybe in an attic or in a crawl space they create between the floors of a home, is what's called an inline blower. A couple of things there. We love it. In terms of true 101, an inline blower will have the best performance because it's pulling the air quietly to the actual blower, which is housed somewhere in the home, and then it's pushing. So that pull push is ideal to move smoke, heat, and grease. Mm-hmm. The challenge for that is, look, it's physically large. You can even see in this diagram, it's probably pretty accurate. Yeah. So you need to really plan for A, having access to it, God forbid something were to happen and it required service or replacement. And then as much physically in the home, where are you going to place this thing? Because it's decent size. So while we love it, it's restricted a lot of times by people may not be able to physically make it happen. But that's called an inline blower.
Okay.
And then the final would be number three. And we're going to show great pictures of this so you can kind of get some ideas of this, but that later in the show. But this is an exterior blower, or an external blower, where truly that fan is mounted to the outside of the home. In this case, we're showing it on the slant of the roof, but it can truly be on a wall, a back wall or a side wall to the home, but it's mounted on the outside. So the couple of things, and we'll drill this home later when we show you pictures, is really physically, what does this all look like from your home? So if you were to put it on, on your roof, is it a place where it's going to be an eyesore for you? If you put it on the sidewall or out back, is there a patio or a deck or an entryway or something that's really going to be kind of obtrusive and in the way? So placement's really important. If all things were possible, okay, and you could do anything, most people would want an exterior or an inline blower. And the only simple reason for that, we can get the most powerful, largest blowers that way. But it's the quietest because the fan noise, just think about it. We're putting it outside. We're not having it put within the physical hood itself, which in that, if you go back to number one, which is an internal blower, again, the most common because the easiest to install, that fan noise is right there in mm-hmm. the kitchen at the heart of the hood itself, where the other two options are taking that noise and putting it somewhere else. So you can really have it up loud. And in an open floor plan, you know, where a lot of people have islands and everything else, inline and external would be ideal. But again, a lot of things to think about on the installation, making sure that your carpenter, your contractor and electrician, everyone's in sync.
Yeah. And kind of like you said too, you're putting that noise somewhere else. So like definitely something to consider when you're doing, especially an external blower on the outside of the home, you know, definitely obviously be cognizant of where that kind of goes. And we'll, like you said, talk about that a lot more too.
Yep. And Rob, just as we go, we'll remind you again, we love the questions coming in. We'll answer them at the end. We're going to end up answering that for you. And as we get through this, there's a lot of material here. I think we'll answer for you. All right, go ahead, Fran.
Yep.
So now we're going to talk about exhaust and ducts. So this is another thing you got to think about. In this photo here, let's start at the top. You can see on the outside, you can kind of see a cursor there. On the slant of the roof, you see a big metal box. That's an exterior blower. So that's kind of what that thing might look like outside your house. Now, you can cover that in wood. People can you can clapboard it, cover it in wood. People, mm-hmm. some people paint it. You know, there's ways to make it less obtrusive, but it is something to think about. That other one you see is just another size. See, there's all mm-hmm. sorts of varying sizes depending on the brand, but that's an exterior blower as well. This one here, that's what it would look like mounted outside of your house for this particular brand. So again, just the point is we wanted to make it obvious to say, imagine many times off of kitchens or outdoor patios, and you got to think about where this thing is. Yeah. Okay. At the very minimum, you want to run an exterior blower at a minimum 10 feet from the actual hood itself, or else some people say, oh, well, it's going to be quieter. Let me mount it right outside of the kitchen. Well, it's going to be loud still. You're still right there. Excuse me, you need to get it a little bit away. So as well, we're looking at this, people talk about duct work, right? And it's so important. We built this house in our showrooms, in one of the showrooms, to at least show the physical size. You know, if I were to ask customers, hey, you're replacing a hood, are you putting in a hood? Oh, I think I can fit a duct through the house. Yeah, oh no, a pretty big one. Well, up top is a 10-inch round duct, and to the right of that, is a 6-inch round duct, and to the left of that is a 4-inch round duct. But in the eye of the beholder, many times people think the 4-inch round duct is really big. So it's super important to make sure that you match your ductwork to the physical hood itself, okay? The hood has a requirement. It'll call for it, and you just want to make sure you plan for it early in the process to make sure you can run it through the home. The next two, this is if, for instance, if you had an internal blower, okay, this is the part that would go on the outside of the house and literally exhaust. So this is your wall cap. You can see it. There's one against the clapboard there, but those are wall caps, varying sizes, again, matching the ductwork that you're running through the home. But again, you want to think about where this stuff is placed in the home. You could paint it. You could shingle that to make it go away. Obviously, you have to leave the bottom open. But, you know, just to think about, those are the things, again, so many people, you need to have an early conversation with your contractor. It's the first thing you got to talk about, honestly, in the kitchen. One of the first. And they won't want to a lot of times. They're, oh, yeah, I can do anything. Just get it here. Just get it here. Just get it here. We are really big on reaching out to that contractor and making sure that goes smooth, because you could buy your stove, get everything put in place, and if it's not right, then the kitchen doesn't function well. And you hate this beautiful new kitchen because your fan can't keep up and your fire alarms are going off and you can't have people sit in the kitchen or cook on high and everything else. So
yeah,
a lot to think about.
Absolutely. It's one of those things that, you know, it's so critical, but it's the last thing you think about. It's not that, you know, you're always looking at the performance of the appliances, that how they look in your home, but the ventilation is so critical to make all of those things work. And like you said, if you don't have those conversations and your salespeople aren't having those conversations with the tradespeople on your job, the contractors specifically and the installers, absolutely critical that your salespeople are communicating directly with those people.
Absolutely. Okay. All right, now let's talk about some of the different styles here, right, that we can get so people can get their head around the, again, more verbiage they're going to hear. To the left, a simple under cabinet. So that's a residential, you know, generally somewhere between 4 and 8 inches tall, decent power, you know, probably going over a more mainline cooking product, nothing pro or too powerful. To the right of that, that's an example of a pro hood. And what do we mean by pro? You'll start to see improved baffles underneath. The actual filters are better at moving air through them because they're slightly more powerful generally, and have bigger wafts of smoke that are created at one time. And then as well, they're generally deeper front to back. But that's a pro style under cabinet hood. It's as much to do with the physical depth and the way it's built as it is anything. To the right of that's a chimney hood. So to the person that says, you know, I don't want upper cabinets, I kind of want to make now this hood a focal point, then that's where a chimney hood comes in. Good aesthetic qualities. Generally not the best vents because they tend to be flat on the bottom and smoke wants to rise. And if the fan doesn't take it away immediately, that smoke tends to roll right past it. But as long as it's matched with the right product, it can be a great application. I like them a lot, actually. You just need to really make sure you're focusing on the style and the function to make sure you have a good match for blower strength and all the rest. And then to the right, you have an island hood, something that looks kind of like the chimney hood. We just wrapped it on all sides and we put it right over the middle of your island. Don't like it, but we'll talk some more about it. Not my favorite choice. All right. Hood inserts. You see the hood insert to the left. That's where somebody has a decorative piece of wood and mounts it up or has something built to go above so that it looks like cabinetry. They really want to take the curse off of the hood, and maybe they don't like the look or just want that more customized look and feel.
Yeah.
Okay, to the right of that, we're going to go to a downdraft hood, and that's the style where you press a button on the top or on the counter or on, you know, this remote, and behind the cooktop itself, that unit will rise up and down. When it's in its down position, it's flat. And kind of blends in with the cooktop. But when you turn it on, it rises up. They have a fan and generally a heat source. We'll talk a lot about downdrafts. It is absolutely not a good venting fan ever, ever, ever. But we'll talk more. Do you think I'm passionate about that one? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
Here's the next one. There's a few brands out there now, but originally there was a product by a company called Best, and it was called the CRS hood. And that's the style where these people that maybe have beautiful views to downtown Boston or tall ceilings or don't want that big island hood we showed earlier kind of blocking this, blocking their purview. Or they don't want to do a downdraft or can't. They came up with this ceiling hood. Now, looks really flat and clean. Understand that the guts are in there.
Yeah.
So it is very deep. You need to make sure if you were to look beyond the flatness of it and cut into the sheetrock and look above, and we'll show a picture later, you're going to really see big guts in there.
Yeah.
Don't love it. Last resort, maybe better than anything. Why don't I love it? Well, you're drawing smoke to your ceiling. So what do you think it does to all the areas around that? And ideally, it's about 5 feet further up than it wants to. You know, smoke, just think about it. You guys have seen steam boil or smoke. It wants to go every which way, but directly up in a straight, perfect line to your hood. It just wants to kind of waft and go off this way. So we're hoping that this unit, a good 5, 6, heck, I've seen them 8 feet above our heads, are kind of going to bar all that smoke and heat. Doesn't work so well.
Yeah, these are the ones like the downdrafts and the ceiling hoods. These are the ones that you see on Howe's a lot of times, or and they're in the fancy magazines. So we definitely get a lot of questions on these. So we're going to dive deep into those. And like I said,
if you're
if
you have someone that doesn't cook a lot, it's a beautiful hood. If you cook a lot, I think there's probably some better solutions we can come up with.
Definitely.
The next one will be over the range microwave. Just that, trying to be three things, trying to be a light for over your stove, which doesn't do very well. It's trying to be a light. It's trying to be a reheating product. And it's also trying to be a fan. We'll talk some more about them. Obviously it does none of any of those things great. It's not a great light, it's not a great fan, and it's not a great cooking product, but sometimes it's a necessity. And we're going to give you some other options later on the show to kind of think about maybe things you could do in lieu of those.
Go ahead.
So now that we've kind of got through that, let's talk about a lot of people see the hood, but don't understand when we're really harping on them about you've got to get with the contract, you've got to connect us with your people installing it. We need to talk with these people. Because you can imagine half the time people, this is that hood we said that was flat in that ceiling. We showed up 8 or 9 feet. This is one kind of more up close. And we tried to recreate kind of what some framing might look like in a home. That's that wooden 2x4. But you can see the physical housing up in there. And so you can imagine if that's between your first and second floor, many times people will not in a renovation just have that space between their floor joists. They just won't. So they're going to have to box it out and bring it down, or in the initial stages, if it's a new build, really plan for that unit. But it's as much why that is, if you're seeing that in magazines and you're saying, hey, why don't we just do this? You got to understand if your existing home can ever do that. Okay. Can you make it work? Okay, next. Downdrafts, we talk a lot about them. We dislike them because they're at the rear of the stove and most people cook at the front of their stove. We dislike them because most stock pots are taller than the actual downdraft itself. So that makes sense that smoke wants to rise, not be sucked backwards back down. And as well, many times people don't really think about what it's gonna do to the physical cabinetry below the cooktop and downdraft. Below the counter, actually. This is a cross section. We have this in our store where it's live, but you can actually see and have a better vision of what needs to happen. So in a downdraft here, you have the big physical body below your cabinet. So you give up all those cabinets below. Some people have made some smaller custom shelves and there can be done, but it's not easily done. It takes some work. Additional to that, you see that duct that is actually going down. So now we have to cut a hole in that cabinet, run a duct down, and then somewhere connect it to another duct that's running to bring it outside of the house. In an ideal form. In this form, you can kind of see if you look at the bottom of that cabinet there, you're kind of starting to pick up a grate. And they have recently come out with a recirculating downdraft. So we already know downdraft is a no-no. Even in a perfect world, they never work well. And then they came out with a recirculating version, which vents nowhere. So what do you think I think about that? I don't think about that. I think it's
kind of goes against all the rules of ventilation we're talking about here.
Yeah. No capture space, you know, exactly. Mounting it at the correct height above the hood, not behind or below the hood. And, you know, so that's a downdraft. But as much as people will maybe understand a little bit more about what we're talking.
Yeah. Okay. And like you said, even like the pure height of them. And now even as they become taller, the thing is, there's still no capture area and you're still fighting against.
Yeah. And here's the customer that wants us. And there's a lot of them. they really care about the kitchen project. Mm-hmm. They're trying to design something beautiful. They're trying to design a dream space or a nice space where people can sit and eat or they can see this view. And these are the people that I want to talk to so much about the idea of coming up with a creative solution, not to downdraft. Because if you're spending this much time and that all of this space means that much for to you that you would pick a downdraft, which on first glance you'd say, why wouldn't I? But we tell you all the reasons why it doesn't work. That beautiful space when you entertain is an awful space. It's hot. You can't, people that have downdrafts tell me they just don't, if they entertain, they're bringing in catering because they can't cook in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I really want to ask you again for those folks of, are you a cook? Are you going to entertain? And would it bother you not being able to if you had a lot of company over because the smoke and the heat is just everywhere? And most people say, yeah, why would I have a kitchen and spend all this money if I were afraid to have people over or my family over just to cook? So really think strongly about downdrafting and we'll come up with some better solutions for you.
All right.
This, we're going to talk a little bit about makeup beer, a lot of it about makeup beer, and there's a lot of questions. Understand that it's a code. In most states now, it's a national code. It got put in 2007, and there were early and late adopters to that. Every state will put their own maybe little spin on it, so you want to check with your local code. But in concept, it's written that any hood fan over 400 CFM needs to have makeup beer. And why that is, just so everyone kind of understands, we put together a quick video, and we can even maybe come back to this, but the concept is we're looking at here, I'll just give an overview, is the homes are made so much more tightly today. The older homes, there were a lot of drafts. The insulation wasn't as good. The windows weren't as advanced. Now we have blow-in insulation, and we're trying to make homes more efficient, more tight to save money and better for the environment, right? Less wasted resources. And the government has really come down on this and made all these R values and these continued improvements to the envelope of the home be part of new construction. And so the code is followed that if the home is tight and it does, before when we used to turn a fan on, your fan would pump up and there'd be a leaky draft somewhere and air would be replaced or made up or makeup. And that's mm-hmm. where it comes from. And the makeup that air, it's going to push out of the home. And in the case of the new homes, they're just so tight that there's not that air to just be pulled from. It needs to recreate an opening to allow fresh air in. Okay. So with that, why don't we roll? Can we cue up the Brone video? Yep. We're going to send, watch this 2-minute video. That's a little more than 2 minutes, but I think it'll give for the average person a really bird's eye view of what makeup beer is in a kitchen. This is done by Brone, who is one of the leaders in the makeup beer space for what we do on the appliance side. So go ahead, Fred.
All right.
Today's homes are more airtight than ever. It's especially important that an adequate fresh air source be available. Otherwise, poor indoor air quality problems are compounded. With no controlled makeup air, outside air finds its way into airtight homes through undesirable places, with undesirable consequences. For instance, backdrafting from naturally vented combustion devices such as fireplaces and water heaters can bring in harmful gases, smoke, or particulates. Air drawn in through windows and doors can result in uncomfortable drafts and window condensation. And outside air, rushing between vapor barriers, can cause potential mold problems. Range hood performance can also be negatively affected when there's an inadequate source of outside air. As a result, range hoods that operate over 400 CFM may cause home depressurization and operate at reduced performance, allowing smoke and odors to linger in the house. Building experts recommend, and IRC code requires, that homes with range hoods over 400 CFM have an interlocked makeup air damper. The Brone Universal Makeup Air System offers an easy solution for new construction or for retrofitting existing range hood installations. The system includes a sealed motorized damper assembly and an easy-to-install exhaust flow sensor that provides a synchronized system. What's more, The installation requires only low voltage wiring to the sensor and makeup air damper. The universal makeup air system includes unique components that deliver fresh air in a controlled, energy-efficient manner for all Brohn and Best hoods. No one else offers such a complete solution. Improved indoor air quality through balanced ventilation and optimum range hood performance.
So to bring that home in a nutshell, basically what this is, you put a sensor in the ductwork, and there's a few ways to do this. You can have your HVAC guy try to do a whole home solution. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, unfortunately, makeup air becomes an afterthought, but the home inspectors are now coming in, and if you don't have it, they're not gonna give you occupancy. So it's something that you have to talk about with your contractor early on, or your home inspector to find out. By now, they all should. But if you wanna make sure you address it before you get building. But there's a sensor that you mount into the upper part of the ductwork as it first exits the hood, somewhere in that first bit of the run. Okay, that sensor will sense every single time you turn on the fan. Okay, what it does is there's a wire that connects, and somewhere in that ductwork, further down the line, is a damper. We cut the duct in two sections. This damper fits between it, and it's a closed damper. Okay, but it's electronically wired by low voltage wire right back to that little switch. This pressure sensor that we mount in. Every single time we turn the hood on, the pressure sensor calls for that duct that's in the middle to open, okay? And this louver kind of opens. It's on a small, we have them, if you're in our market, you can see them in our stores. We show a visual, an actual one in working. But the damper opens to allow that rush of cold air to replace. And what that would look like is where's that cold air coming from? On the outside of your house, you're gonna have a side piece that just looks like we showed some pictures earlier, but it's basically going to look like a terminating duct wall cap, and it doesn't have anything blocking. It's fresh air could come right in. Why it doesn't enter your home though is, remember that damper that's in between all that duct is opening and closing. So the minute you turn off your fan, that duct closes, so the cold air doesn't rush into the home. It's only allowing for it as you need it. That's for anything above 400 CFM. Now, the average question people will ask is, in this case, is, can I get away with it on a pro stove? You know, people are trying to skirt it. They're trying to say, hey, I want to do this nicer stove, but I don't turn on the fan that often. I'll open the windows if I have to, and let me do this less powerful hood. The problem is, again, the inspector is going to come in. He's going to look at the fan. And he's basically going to say, okay, what do we have? And basically how that works is, for every 10,000 BTUs of heat that your stove can potentially give off, okay? And that's most burners are at least 10,000 BTUs. Some are 20,000, just one singular burner. And you might have four or five or six on it. For every 10,000 BTUs of heat, you want 100 CFM of suction. So if you had four 10,000 BTU burners, which all stoves have more than that now for the most part, you know, you're up there in a major requirement for absolutely having to have a fan that's more powerful than makeup air requirement of 400 CFM. So the inspector would say, hey, you need makeup air. You need a more powerful blower. I can't let this go. The hood, the stove itself is calling for 1,000 CFM. It says it right here in the spec sheets. And you put a fan in that only is 400 CFM. I'm not signing off on the two. Put in the right size, right kind of makeup air system, okay? Now, for those people that don't want to do that, and they maybe don't want a gas stove, you know, I said I'd wait till the end, but Andy's asking about like an induction stove. So this electric or induction ranges or an induction stove that's very powerful but doesn't have the requirement for ventilation, and you could do a hood that's less than 400 CFM or less, and then you wouldn't have to address this makeup here on the range itself at all, okay? But homes today, you're going to have multiple systems. And your HVAC system is going to have some type of makeup air. So it's not the end of the world. You just want to talk about it a little bit earlier. Okay.
Yeah, definitely a question we get a ton of. And it's like you said, you know, really to this today, any range larger than 30 inches will definitely require a ventilation system that's more, at least 600, really more than that. And really any professional 30 inch range now today, with very, very few exceptions, is going to need really more than that 400 as well. And then it's a performance thing too. So sometimes it's like, oh, you know, can I get away with it? And sure, you know, there's certainly instances that you can, but like you've always said too, and like we said today, it's, you know, you got to think about how you cook. What are you cooking? How do you entertain? Because just because you can get away with it doesn't mean you're going to be happy with that long-term performance of it either. Just to be able to maybe kind of spend a little bit less initially, it's almost always well worth it to do it when you're redoing your kitchen, you're remodeling, building a new home, anything like that. Get it done with, because the long-term performance really is, that's the best way to do it for sure.
Yeah. New home construction and renovation, major renovation, the inspectors are going to come in and ask for what's called a blower test. And basically they come to the front door of your home or a door in your home, and they mount this big, it kind of seals it off. And it's measuring, pushing air through your home and trying to measure how efficient your home is, because it needs to meet certain standards today. So homes are being built tighter. I would say this, and this is not to knock anybody, but if your contractor isn't asking about makeup air, or you, we certainly are going to bring it up. You have to sign off on it. We want to talk to them. We want your project to go well. And if your contractor is telling you, oh, I can get around it, or I don't know what makeup air is, that's red flags, folks. If he's trying to get around something that's actually in the interest and safety of your family, what else is he getting around that we're not talking about, saying, what the heck? And if he doesn't know about it at all, I'd question how many homes he's building in the new age, because it's just something they need to do. It's not scary. It's not super expensive. We can walk them through it. The videos and the installation are very, very, very easy. This isn't major, major work, but it's work you want to do earlier, knowing that your inspector, even if you could get past your inspector to get occupancy for yourself and you skated the code or figured out a way to do a lower powered blower, if you got through it all, understand, if you ever go to sell your home, a good home inspector is going to point that out initially and be like, wait a minute. They're going to address this. This isn't even legal. You see what I'm saying? So on these types of things, that's why the codes are in effect. As much as we don't like some of the codes, it's really for the best interest of your family. So do that well. Talk to a professional. Get your contractor and your appliance company in sync, along with yourself. Be informed. And I think that you can solve it pretty easily, and it's a thing of the past. And get the right hood with the makeup air system. I mean, I think these makeup systems cost what, $400?
$300. Exactly. Yeah, and that's the damper on the outside, the whole kit on the inside. I mean, the products themselves are really not that expensive. And then it's just making sure you're finding the right people to do the work. And you said it right there, you know, you said it early. And that, for ventilation, you got to get to it early. And again, that's why it's so critical for the people that you're working with, the salespeople, that they're communicating, because this stuff can be confusing. And listen, it's one of those things, even for our newer salespeople, whenever we have a new salesperson, ventilation's always the hardest thing to pick up, because it is foreign to a lot of people in the terminology. That's why it's so critical to make sure that you're working with the right people and that they're working with your contractor to make sure everyone's on the same page early, because it is extremely difficult to fix something later when all the walls are closed up, the ceiling's in. It's pretty difficult to make some changes after the fact there. So no question, you want to get in there early. And then you mentioned, you know, doing it the right way. So I think that's a good segue for the next thing. Maybe we can talk about some of the wrong ways to do things next and what not to do. So let's show a couple of pictures here.
Sure. All right, so here's the first one. Maybe you may look at it quickly and say, what the heck's wrong here? But here's a pro range on an island. Right off the bat, that's wrong. You'd never want to do it. And what we mean by pro is, that stove, and this is off the top of my head, I'm going to tell you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That stove with the infrared broiler, looks like a grill. That stove is probably giving off on the top somewhere around 120,000 BTUs of heat. Now, that's if everything were on high, but that's a lot of heat. So that technically will call for a 1,200 CFM blower. See, I'm pretty good there, Frank. That was off.
No question.
I probably could have got there a different way. But that's going to call for a 1,200 CFM. And what this manufacturer, or what this person did, is if you look behind the stove, look, that's actually a downdraft, okay, stuck behind a pro stove. You'll see it in the pretty magazines. If I had a dollar for every time a customer, the salesperson's like, the customer wants to buy it, and I have to keep telling them that you're saying you will not sell it for them. So I hop on the phone, and after a good conversation, they generally understand why. That is never going to work. That never. You're looking at a $14,000 stove with a downdraft behind it. It will never, ever, ever, ever work. I would just ask them, why even put in the vent? I hope you're not cooking. You don't intend to ever turn this stove on. So that's number one. Not do this, but here's how you could do something like that, Fran. Here's a pro stove mounted the correct way. On an outside wall of the house or on a wall of the house, because the smoke wants to follow and be driven up that back. Because remember, smoke wants to go every which way. So we're going to start to form that smoke. And then you can see capture space and ideally mounted at 30 to 36 inches. This is, I can tell you, it's one of our showrooms. So that's exactly 30 inches. That's generally how I'll mount them. But 30 to 36 is generally acceptable. People will say, can I go lower? And sometimes there's some old hoods out there will even say as low as 24 inches. 30 is the rail industry standard. So that means 30 inches above the counter. So if your counters are 36 inches tall, you're measuring up 30 inches should start your hood. That's the bottom of your hood. Okay. If you were to go much lower, sure you can. I'm going to tell you, for most people, that hood is really going to be in your face and start to get really at your temple or lower than your temple, depending on how tall. And moreover, remember, smoke wants to rise. So 30 inches is kind of like the perfect height for it to come out of the pans, kind of form slow, kind of gather itself again and be sucked away. If you're too low, it's going to hit it. And if it doesn't grab it right away, it's going to roll right past it. So, you know, you want to be careful. Okay. Next one. Right. This is a wood hood mantle. Okay. And the wood mantle here, while pretty and decorative, look, they even put some nice decor up there, is absolutely wrong. Okay. And this is where it's form and function again. We see this design a lot. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's form and function. You got to ask yourself, are we intending for this to work? How important is that? Or is the aesthetic more? Because just look at there. Fran's kind of dragging his cursor over there. The front two burners are totally exposed. That hood is not pulled out. So I can tell you that stove, front to back, to the front of those burners, are 24 inches deep, okay, thereabouts. And that hood, you can see, is noticeably set back. It's also set high. Many times they want that arced look that you see in the middle. So they're setting that hood many times at 40 inches, 42 inches, because they kind of want this grand effect. But remember, too high now. So it's set too far back. You tend to cook on your front two burners every day. And so smoke is, it's just not going to get around, it's going to go every which way. So let's show the right way to do it. Okay, now, that's a polarizingly different picture here, right? We said it doesn't have to be this exact hood. And actually, I tell you, the cabinets are very dated. But take away what I'm trying to point out, which is that's noticeably a little lower. That's 30 inches off the cooktop. And it's pulled out. You can see the depth of it front to back. Okay. I can tell you it's kind of a weird angle, but that's 24 inches deep front to back. Now, you can either like all the other dental moldings and moldings they put around it. You could change a million ways. Heck, some people can box that and make that look very modern. But the point we talked earlier about capture space is when you're doing a wood mantle, you want to make sure you do what a hood would do, an ideal hood. Bring it out to the front of the stove and cover the widths. And make sure that the fan that's under there is adequately sized. Because remember again, too, that wood something for the folks that bought that, very expensive. I would imagine that's probably $3,000 minimum for that mantle. Yeah. Forget the blower. Forget the stove. So why do all of that work? $6,000-$7,000 to do it wrong. It just takes a little more creative thinking and just talking to the right people to get it right for you. And there we go. Next one. Okay, over the range microwaves. This is probably my one cheat, my one recommendation. Now, I will tell you, I grew up with over the range microwaves, and I know more of my friends that have them. And it's 50% of customers probably still do an over the range microwave. Why? Because we talked about it earlier. It does three things, none of them well, but three things in a small space. It's a light over our stove. It's a cooking product. It's your microwave solution. And it says that it's a fan, but we know they're shallow. We know they're low. We know they're flat. We know the lights aren't powerful. We know they don't cook food great. Like all those things that aren't great about it. But I'm really trying to show you in this application, look at this customer. They paid for this nice upper cabinet. Okay. And then in there, so they pay for the cabinet. Now I'm going to guess just a very basic upper cabinet is probably $300 to $500 nowadays. You know, I haven't shopped cabinets in a little bit, but $300 to $500. If you do have something nicer, a lot more than that. So you spend $300 to $500 for a cabinet that, by the way, look at it, it's wasted. You have electrical cord in there, you have a big duct, you know, you throw yellow pages up in there, you even get those things anymore, or random stuff. It's just a junk collecting draw. It didn't do anything for you. And then you had a microwave that's probably, you know, $400 to $500. So you're probably all in just in that little look, still probably around $1,000, give or take $100. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what you could do with that space. Something like this. We didn't buy to pay for an upper cabinet that we're not going to use. We just tiled all the way up to the top and we put a hood in here. Now let's talk about this hood. Significantly better lighting. It makes the kitchen look open and more modern and just more airy. Again, that upper cabinet that houses a hood is a wasted cabinet. Or not even a hood or a microwave, depending. But this chimney style can really give you a totally different dramatic look. And you can buy those for $800 to $1,200. So for the same money, you accomplish it. Now, someone would say, well, what do I do with my microwave now? Okay. Well, you could buy an inexpensive microwave and put it somewhere, build a cubby into the lower cabinets or put it on a counter. If that drove you nuts, you could do a microwave draw. Of course, that's going to add a little bit more money for the draw. But the point is, we'd all agree that is the focal point. When people walk in the home, that's what they see. We can make it look really great by kind of not spending any more on that cabinet and microwave option, getting a far better hood, better suction, better lighting, better performance. Yeah. We just got to address a microwave.
All right. Next one. Another designer magazine favorite.
There we go. We love it. We love it in the metro areas. New York loves it. Boston loves it. Chicago, Miami. Miami loves this thing. Mm-hmm. New York loves it too. But, you know, architects and designers all day long. I love them, but I want to slap them in this case because the reality of it is does not work. Does not work at all. Now, think about this again. Remember, we just did it. Microwave effect. That upper cabinet is paid for. This has a blower. It's up in that upper cabinet. So the upper cabinet's wasted. Okay, fine. We can get past that. We like the clean look. That's fine. This is only about 16 inches deep. And your front burners are somewhere between 20 and 24 inches deep off the back of the stove. So again, you're not, and it's totally flat. This is, again, do you want that hood? Yes, I want that hood. Okay, you don't cook, right? So the stove doesn't have to work. That's what I'd be saying. Yep. You know what I mean?
Zero capture area whatsoever in something like that.
Looks beautiful. Yeah. That's where it begins and ends. Okay, it's not even a great light. Go ahead, Fran, before I get frustrated. All right, so now here's an example of there's an upper hood. Now there's a million different hoods to pick from. You can get all different decorative. But, you know, now you're getting lighting. You're getting far better performance, pro baffles. You know, and again, now all sorts. If you want painted color, you could have done a wood hood there. I mean, a million ways to make it go away. Just not that little cheesy slide out thing. It's just, they're not cheap either. They're generally, you know, $1,000, $3,000.
Yeah. I mean, usually more. Yeah, I say more than the typical hood for sure.
Yeah, they don't work. Okay.
All right. That's all the pictures.
Now, here's what I'm going to ask because the questions come in like this all the time. Someone will say to me, and this will answer Andy's question. What size CFM for a range hood for a 36-inch induction? Okay. Now, we just made like we're hood and vent experts, but then I'm going to answer the first one and say those questions are really, really hard. Not hard, but I don't want to steer you wrong. I would ask you immediately, Andy, what size duct can you fit through the home and how far is the stove from the exterior place that it's going to vent? If you ever tell me you're not venting a hood and you're going to recirculate a hood, then the suction doesn't matter because recirculating is recirculating is recirculating. Smoke and heat it's not going anywhere. It's staying in the home. You'd have charcoal filters and the recirculating hoods that you need to change, and a lot of people don't, but it's basically like a carbon charcoal filter that needs replacement every, you know, depending on how often you cook. Some people 3 months, some people 6 months, some people once a year. But if you're not doing that and you're venting it outside, the question is, how are you going to get that outside? I'll give you a perfect analogy. A lot of people say to me, oh, Dennis, you know, the fan, it's not far. It's not far at all. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, it's great. It's good. We want you to not have a far duct run. Shorter duct runs are best. Oh, well, it's going, let's answer. Andy, answer me. 6-inch duct, garage wall, straight up through the roof. Okay, awesome. Perfect explanation. Let me also tell you, though, Andy, it's great. We can answer this, but if it was, Andy said again, 6-inch duct, he's going straight up 7 feet to the roof. That's an ideal scenario. Because remember, smoke wants to rise. no turns and going straight up. You could get away with a 400 CFM hood, would probably be fine. If you could, if you're trying to avoid makeup air, you could do 400. If you did 600 CFM, absolutely perfect all day long. You don't need to go any more powerful, you know, tons of options. If you said to me though, in that same scenario, hey, Dennis, this induction stove, what would I need for CFM? I'm going to ask you, how do you vent it outside? What if you told me it's only 7 feet away where it's going to go? Because that's what people tell me. So I go up, I take a left-hand turn, I take a 90 degree to go left, and then I got to take a 45 and then another 45 and a mile. But it's only 7 feet. Mm-hmm. Let's understand this. For every 90 degree elbow, it's equivalent to another 8 to 10 feet of running duct. And a 45 angle is about 5 feet. So if you told me again, you're going up, you're taking a 90. Okay, that's 10 feet right there. We just took a 90. We know that that's 10 feet. Then I go 3 feet. Okay, so now we're 13. Mm-hmm. We got 10 and 3, 13. I'm taking a 45. Okay, remember we said a 45 is 5 more feet. Oh, wow, now we're at 18 feet. And then I go another 3 feet and then 45 again. Do you see what happens? This real quick can become closer to a 30-foot duct. Right. But people size the hood because the person they're buying it from doesn't ask any of these qualified questions. And they tell you, oh, it's only an induction stove. You only need four to 600 CFM, just like I told Andy in this case.
Yep.
But I can say that with confidence, Andy, because he's doing a perfectly straight shot. But you got to think about all those turns. It's absolutely awful. Okay, let's go to Rob is saying he's in a similar place. He has a 36-inch induction cooktop on order and will be vented with a 600 CFM inline, probably 20-foot run, and I think can do 10 feet. Okay, this is good. Rob, so the point is this. 600 CFM in an inline blower would probably work. All I'm going to tell you is you have to make sure that the 10-inch round duct is truly what's necessary. So what I mean is some people might say, you know what, the heck with it. I'm going to run the biggest duct because I want to be able to have the maximum. I don't want to worry about it. Sometimes that can be reverse. So what do I mean by that? If you had a 600 CFM hood, generally they're never calling for a 10-inch round duct. A 600 CFM hood is generally calling for a 6 or a 7 inch round duct. Okay. And if you were to run a 10, think about it. It's kind of like this. If the duct is too small, let's say the opposite, and you were going small, it's like sucking sand through a straw. If you're, you know, or I think like pixie sticks, I don't know. Listen, don't get into my food habits. But if we really sucked really strong into a straw, you know, there's not, the straw isn't big enough and the sand just doesn't go. You're turning red, mm-hmm. right? The opposite happens if that duct is too big. So if you oversize the duct, you're pushing air into the duct, but it's sitting within it has what's called negative static pressure. It'll actually conceptually come back at mm-hmm. you. The exact opposite of everything you tried to plan for happens. So you just, because it'll come back down because it's too much space now. So the point you want to make it is just the right size. The other things with ducting is the turns. And remember, we told you all those turns is 10-inch round duct. If a contract is doing this for you, you need to be on them. Because here's what they're going to say. I can probably make a turn. But if when you're not home, they make the turn, they can transition this duct. So let's just say it's perfect, Rob, and it was a 10-inch round duct. Let's stick with that because you brought it up. And here we go. We're running our 20 feet. Everything's pristine and it's straight. And we got to make this one turn to clear a joist or a beam or something that's in the way. And it gets tight for the builder. They can reduce that 10-inch round duct. And it will be 10-inch round here. But it might be 6-inch round here for about 3 feet. And then he opens it back up to 10 again. Hmm. All those types of things I see happen all the time. And when that happens, you'd never know. You'd swear to me, Dennis, you told me the darn thing would work and now it doesn't work. Well, yeah, if I ripped open your ceiling, I bet you'd find out, one, he didn't run 10 foot, or if he did, it's a lot further than 10 feet, or he took 3 turns. So you really want to push them to think about it up front. That's probably, hopefully I went on long, but that's what we see all the time. Yeah, right. You want to tape your joints, okay? or mud your joints. You want the joints, if they use rigid, ideally we want rigid duct that has no perforations, because that air and wind will be a lot quieter if it doesn't have ribbing in it, okay? If it has ribbing in it, which a lot of times they need to make these turns, that's fine, but you want to tape those joints. You know, air, you know, just wants a smooth surface to run clean. And if it has to hit a dip or a ripple or a dent in the ductwork, which sometimes it does, understand that's a restriction, which is going to create noise for you. And it's going to restrict perfect airflow. So that's why I always say tape those joints, and where possible, run rigid duct. The other style that people run is what's called semi-rigid, which has bends or the ability to flex. And that's okay, but you want to limit that. And when you do use it, tape the joint so that it's a little bit, you know, quieter.
Yeah, just like you said, all those turns and elbows, you know, very similar to reductions. Like if you're going from a 10-inch to an 8-inch, that's why it's so important to know this stuff up front, because all those things will affect the performance, the noise. You know, are you truly getting anywhere close to the CFM that the hood's even capable of? Because all those things are going to absolutely reduce significantly the performance of that hood. Now, makeup is definitely something we get a ton of questions on. And there is sometimes, you know, like we've said, there's certain situations that you don't need 600 CFM. You can get away with 400. Now, some hoods today even give you kind of that ability to do that, correct? To be able to go from like a 400 to a 600 CFM.
Sure. Yeah. So all of the hoods, we have our own private label line of hoods, and we're not here to pump those, but they're fantastic. We think we've solved every solution. I mean, I'll blow your minds for a minute, or just blow ours when we designed it. But our pro hoods come with a 1200 CFM internal blower. And if you ever, a lot of times people will start with an internal blower and maybe it's too loud for them, or they just underestimated the noise in the space. And then they want to return this piece of metal to us, this blower that's open. They have no bar. Yeah. Wires have been installed. It's painful for everybody involved in those, but you have that. Or we saw somebody an exterior blower and they didn't have an in-depth conversation with their contractor. Now he's saying, I can't put that thing in there. I know that's what you wanted, but I didn't know. So our blowers and our pro hoods come out of the box with a 1200 CFM blower. If you wanted to make it an inline blower or an exterior blower, you still use the blower that came from the hood with the hood. All we then sell you is two different size metal boxes that are the shrouds by which the blower will be housed. So if it were inline, it'll be boxed all the way around because it sits within it, and it will have two ducts on either side. And if it's exterior, then it'll be the standard exterior, but it's kind of one box fits all kind of thing. You never can get in trouble. But yeah, I mean, I think as well, a lot of our hoods have the ability, if you're unsure if you're going to be challenged with makeup air, that the hoods themselves can actually be programmed either by an accessory or with the hood within the electronics of the hood itself to be turned down from 600 or 1000 CFM down to 400 CFM so that it passes makeup air inspection. So you can never really get caught. We still want you to have the right size duct. We still want you to have a makeup air system. But in those cases that you're unsure, our hoods could protect you.
Yeah, definitely nice to have that flexibility. And now, so we got a couple more questions that we'll go through. So we can start with Michael M. And I know you don't like these, but this is going in a bar kitchen in the basement with our current appliances. We have that slim Whirlpool 30-inch microwave with the vent. And that's the shorter OTRs there.
Yeah, Michael, honestly, I told you I don't like them, but I actually like that one. If you're going to do it, and understand that there's other brands that make it. There's only Whirlpool doesn't make that. KitchenAid has one. There's only one company in the world I shouldn't say just one, but like Sharp is the major producer of every microwave you buy. So don't be misled to think Wolf makes microwaves or Whirlpool makes microwaves or GE makes microwaves. They do not. They source it from somebody else. So that what Michael's talking about is there is a microwave out there, an over-the-range microwave, if you will, that is less tall. I think it's about 8 inches tall, 7 and change, where traditional microwaves are about 15 and to 16 inches in height. It gives a little cleaner look. It works no better, no worse than anyone else, but it's a little cleaner aesthetic version of it. So I do like it if that's what you have to do. Hassan asks, are those pullout hoods okay for induction? Hassan, no, never, ever. They don't work. Don't do a hood. I'm being very serious. They don't work, period. And you're going to spend the money. And I always still tell people this. So Hassan, you may love the look, but I can tell you, if I were coming to buy your place and you could have a beautiful kitchen and you had that look, I would 100% walk from your home and buy another home in the neighborhood with the same square footage price that didn't have that. Because that would have me think about if you were all educated. I'll tell you, a lot of consumers now are educated. If you research those hoods, they straight up don't work. If you research them on the manufacturer's websites where they pay people to manage them, they'd probably love them. But we see them every single time we install them, and the customer wants to bring us back this honking hood that is contract to put in, or is designer recommended, or that came with the condo. So that's why we don't like them. And suction at that point, for the under counter microwave, for the under cabinet microwave, Michael, that's a 395 CFM. Know this, never buy an over the range microwave for CFM. It's white noise. It's marketing mumbo jumbo. They're all made by Sharp. An over-the-range microwave is an over-the-range microwave is an over-the-range microwave. Some have better lighting. There's a Beko over-the-range microwave by the brand Beko. I love it because, you know, I will tell you, I do not like over-the-range lighting microwave. It stinks. And we worked with Beko actually on this solution where they came up with great lighting. And so what do I mean by that? Under cabinet lighting is what nowadays? LED. And it's generally somewhere around 3,000 Kelvin temperature. It can be 27 or 3, and most generally on a temper. But 3,000 Kelvin temperature lighting is a natural white light, what we call task lighting. It's where people would really use the surface, and it makes food look real, and you can, you know, work with that type of lighting. So we worked with Beko to actually have a microwave that actually carries that same quality LED lighting across. So if I want you to look now that I told you that, it's so many pictures online, or if you go to your local showroom, and here's what you see. Nice, crisp, natural under cabinet lighting all the way, beautiful tile. Then you have this microwave, dark, dingy, yellow, gray, awful dark, and then nice lighting on the other side. Yeah. So, you know, Beko has done a good job with that. I think it's as important as anything is the lighting if you're going to go on.
And Michael does bring up another point here, and this is a question that we definitely get too, is, you know, what are your thoughts of having a larger vent over a smaller cooking surface? So really, you know, oversizing the vent.
Yeah. I mean, listen, 101 truly is we're trained, you know, ideal ventilation would be to oversize 3 inches on the other side. So if you had a 36 inch unit, you might want a 42 inch hood, and they come that size. If you had some of 30, you might do 36. I am going to tell you 99% of everyone does not. And they do 36 over 36. Yeah. And I think it's absolutely fine as long as all those other things we talked about is right. All we're trying to do by making it bigger is cover up for mistakes that might happen in the installation. If you install it correctly from the get-go, then 36 works over 36. But they would generally tell you, yes, add 6 inches to the width of the hood. And where stoves and counters are generally 24 inches deep, there's some hoods that can come out to 27 inches for an extra 3 inches on that side. I think sometimes it can be overkill as long as it's designed correctly. If you're one of those people that, listen, it's never a perfect world. And you tell me, listen, this is all the things we're up against. A long duct run, the duct isn't perfectly sized, all these things. Well, then, yes, I would oversize a hood. You know, if you don't have an ideal condition, or you're really nervous and you kind of just want to put your best foot forward and do it right the first time because you're nervous already it might work, well, then sure, why not design for a few more inches?
Yeah, if you're doing an island hood, definitely oversized for sure.
Yeah. What else do we have here? I want to also tell people this. A lot of times people are in spaces where they're thinking about round duct. And if you actually were to look at most of these hoods, most of them terminate rectangular. Okay, so 3 1/4 by 10 or 3 1/4 by 18 inch rectangular punch outs on the hood. Some come off round, but generally a lot of times rectangular. And then there's a transition piece that takes rectangle to the equivalent round. So if you were to look, and I say that because sometimes it's easier to put a flatter duct and get through spaces of your existing home. Okay, round might be just too round, but rectangle might fit. So if you were to have a 10-inch or a 12-inch round duct requirement, then the equivalent rectangular duct is 3 1/4 by 18. Or if you were down to a 6-inch round, the equivalent duct is 3 1/4 by 12 or 10. So in every hood installation instruction will show that. And just know that you can actually you can actually, you know, you can buy those transitions. That's a lot of times they come with the hood. It's, you know, something you should do. We actually, as part of when you buy a hood with us, we send a sheet to your builder that has all the ducts, parts and pieces. And frankly, sure, we sell things. We'd like to sell them. But at the same point, really all we want to do when we just met with a customer is force the conversation of, hey, no one's filled out their duct sheet. Because really, what don't we want? We don't want you to have a bad project, but we don't want your used hood back when it doesn't work. That's a piece of metal.
The remote blower coming back.
And I can tell you, amazing customers, because we have them, but the conversation goes something like this. Well, I spent X amount of dollars with you. It's not my fault, the contractor, but now it becomes my problem, and I get a 2,000 pile of metal.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, your words exactly. It's a piece of tin just sitting there that you can't do anything with.
Correct. So, what else? Do we have any other questions coming out?
So I'd say if nothing else this episode, we got Hassan to change his mind. He's no longer going to be.
Yeah, listen, Hassan, I do not take pride in that. I will take pride though in a functioning hood. That's all I care about. Yeah, I think that's it. I will say this, folks, we spend a lot of time trying to put these together. And we know many of you are outside our market. All we'd ask you to do is maybe you like the videos or pass it along to a friend or leave a comment, because again, there's us and then there's a great team behind us that helps us do all this, because we're actually just appliance guys, to be honest, and they're really smart. Yeah. So they're in the back making all the magic happen. But if you could just do that for us and let us know it means something, then, you know, we'll continue to do these deeper dives here or there. If there's things specifically you want to talk about, great. Send it over. And we always post this, you know, you can buy, if you go to the Yale website, it's you can find it right on at the top of our header page, but blog.yaleappliance.com. Pat inserted the link. That's a buying guide or a blog article. We put out a lot of blog articles. That's kind of ventilation 101. It really takes you through a lot of the same concepts Fran and I have addressed today.
All right. So I hope you all enjoyed this little bit of a deeper dive we had today. Definitely a little bit longer than usual, but again, a lot of questions when it comes to ventilation, a lot of topics to cover. So we hope you enjoyed that. Also, just quickly want to kind of point out that this weekend in Massachusetts is tax-free weekend. So great time to buy this weekend. The Saturday and Sunday tax-free weekend, we do have a save the tax promotion on some appliances in stock as well beforehand if you need something right away from us. But again, great time to buy, great time to call in and come into the store, because have a lot of great opportunity to save. Anything less than $2,500 this weekend would be tax-free in Massachusetts.
Fran, I will piggyback on that, because the running question becomes, and this is just only in COVID, I'd really suggest this. One is, to your point, we have some pre-holiday specials for in-stock merchandise where you can save as much, if not more, than the sales tax and secure your product before the rush. For folks that are still waiting, though, to convert on the sales tax holiday, we can queue you up ahead of time so you don't have to come in and deal with it all. It just gets done for you on the day. The other thing, though, that I wanted to say is it's a sales tax for items under $2,500, but a lot of people say, well, I have a portion of my order that's on, that the items are under $2,500 each item. And it might be $10,000 worth of items that are all $2,500, and they can save tax on that. But I have these bigger ticket items, and I'm going to wait to order those another month. I would highly stress, do not wait. Convert the order as part of the sales tax holiday. And I say that because this holiday takes 3 months worth of volume and pushes it into 2 days, a weekend for us. And that's every appliance retailer in the state. So if you wait a month to order your Sub-Zero or your bigger item, then you get pushed that you're behind 3 months worth of POs. So you actually really hurt yourself in terms of timing to get your actual product. So, you know, that's kind of the deal. And Michael says, do you all? So I'm thinking he's maybe from down south. I like y'all if he's just a country guy. I like that too. But have the plastron gas trim in the Advantium oven in a wall oven. I do not, because frankly, Michael, it's not sold very often. I would tell you that the question is probably, we'd have to research this, and the GE website would tell you, I would be willing to bet that platinum glass trim is actually on hold by GE. They put select SKUs and colors through COVID on production hold just because they don't have enough velocity on them. Now, the next question is, okay, when will they bring them back? And we don't know that, if they ever will or if they will or when. So you just want to make sure wherever you're at, you'd ask that. He's in Maryland. Okay. And lead times, Michael, are still a pain. awful, only actually in some cases getting worse. But, you know, I'd tell you this, you need to buy from somebody that owns their own warehouse. We have 200,000 square feet. We're building 240,000 square feet more. It's the roads going in now, and that's not inexpensive to do. And so many places don't. They rely on the manufacturers who are constantly changing dates and, frankly, misleading customers to when things are going to be available and they really aren't. So you need to work with somebody that owns their own logistics, can get it in and get it out to you quickly as soon as it arrives to make sure that you have a smooth process. All right?
All right.
Hey, well, someone's putting a plug in there for Steve's blog. Listen, we're the junior. We're the JV. Steve's the varsity. Just doing our thing. We're slow.
That's right.
You know, he brought up in the same conversation as Steven Shankoff is, it's humbling. It's humbling. But thank you, folks. We'll see you next week. Fran, you did a great job as always.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Dennis.
Take care.
Have a good day. Have a good day, everyone.
Bye-bye.